Alf. And then it'll say Beth. Okay, and then it'll say Gamil Deleth Yeth. Okay, this is the Hebrew alphabet. So actually, Psalm 119 is like a, okay, kids, let's go through your ABCs. A is for alligator. B is for bumblebee. C is for car. This is like, let's go through the basics of the Word of God. A, this is all about people who read the Word of God. B, this is all about how you can interpret the Word of God. C, and it goes through in section by section. So that's kind of cool. So Psalm 119:62 is where we're turning for this one. And it says, at midnight I will rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous judgment. At midnight I will rise to give thanks to you. In the nighttime I will study, in the morning I will study. 2 Timothy 2:15 is the next one in your workbook. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We want to be looking and searching. You see the quote at the bottom of 58? You can highlight that. This is a very famous Pastor Tommy quote. Put the word in you when you don't need it. It will be there for you when you do need it. Okay, somebody in your own words, what does that mean? Why is that significant? What does that mean? Put the word in you when you don't need it. It will be there when you do need it. What do you think, Haley? Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. We study scripture now so that when you are in those situations and tough times, you store the word of God in your heart, and then the Holy Spirit will just bubble up different scriptures to your mind. Because when you're in if you're a dad and your baby is in the hospital and it's like a life or death situation, that's not the time for you to go to Google and start saying like, oh, I need to really work on my faith. No. You need to work on your faith right now. You need to have the word of God stored in you now. So then when things happen later in life, you're able to stand strong and say, no, I remember. God said he is faithful. God is good and he does only good. God said I can lay my hands on the sick and they will recover. God said that my generations would be profitable and that there would be a shield of favor around them. It's not as much about the references. Like sometimes we focus so much on knowing the references, like Psalm 17:23, Revelation 3:2. I think those are good because it helps you when you're in conversation. It helps you to tell the person like where to look, or it helps you to look. But at the end of the day, it's more important to get the content in your heart because that's what you're meditating on. It's important for us to be able to just spew out in conversation. Even this morning with my three-year-old, and he was making a choice that we don't say good choices and bad choices. We say wise choices and foolish choices because that is a principle in Proverbs. People are either wise or they're foolish. There are a lot of good people that just make foolish choices. And so he was making a very foolish choice, and he said, well, I don't know the way to do this. And I just said, like a Christian mom, you know, it said, well, the ways of the Lord are right and they will bring joy to your heart. So Oliver, the right way to do something, if it's the right way, if it brings joy to your heart. And right now you're filling our home with chaos and calamity because everybody's crying and yelling because of the situation. So the ways of the Lord are right. They fill our heart with joy. Is your heart filled with joy? No. Okay, then let's pause and pray. Let's ask Jesus, what is the wise way to act in this moment? Okay, and he paused. I think I'm supposed to share with Eleanor. I think that is the wise way. I think that's the right way. Would that way, sharing with Eleanor, would that be a way that would bring joy to our home? Yes. Okay, then that is the right way. So you see, I never said, Oliver, repeat after me, Psalm 19:8, the ways of the Lord are right and bring joy to my heart. I didn't just throw out the reference, but the heart of God in that scripture came through. Does that make sense? Sometimes it can kind of be just annoying if people are just throwing references out all the time and you're like, there's no power in the word, the book, the like reference. The power is in the words of God. So that is my soapbox for you this morning. know the word inside of your heart. So it will be there for you when you don't need it. It will come out when you do need it. Let's look at three different types of students of the Bible. We see these pictures, a bird, a frog, and a caterpillar. A bird is called the panoramic, thank you, friends. Panoramic overview. This is soaring over the content and looking at the Bible as a whole. So we've done a lot of studying this way throughout this course. It's looking at the big narrative, right? It's not just taking, okay, here is the story of David all by itself. No, that would be one way of studying it. But in the bird approach, we see David in the big story of the family of God. Okay, the next is devotional reading, which is the frog approach. And this is when you kind of hop through scripture and you're looking specifically for themes or, you know, buzzword topics. The objective is personal and inspirational for your relationship with God. And then the caterpillar approach is all about studying. So highlight those three categories. You'll see those again. Studying scripture in a systematic, focused, small portion. This is when you say, I'm going to read Romans 1, line by line by line by line. I'm going to read, you know, so forth and so on. We see that it says, you and your Bible. I want you to highlight that scripture, John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Notice there's a difference between, it doesn't say, in the beginning was scripture, and the scripture was with God, and the scripture was God. This Bible is a Bible. It's pages. And it's words that somebody typed and somebody printed. There is no hookah-looka-mooka spooky things on this. This is a book that is a book. It's just, it's pages. It's man-made. Okay? Scripture is the word that's printed on pages. But the word is actually the voice of God. And the word, so the voice of God was from the beginning, right? The voice of God was from the beginning. And that voice put on skin and became flesh. And so when we talk about the Word of God, that is like a resounding, overarching sound. Actually, there is a study that recently being like in the past decade, 10 years, and for centuries, people have always said that the smallest thing you can break down to is an atom, right? Like an atom, like in a cell. Like that, if you take a person, if you take a substance, you break it down, 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 it comes down to an atom. That's the smallest. And then they've recently realized that, no, actually, even inside of the atom is something smaller, and it's a sound wave. A sound wave is the smallest particle of every living thing on earth. Because God spoke. His word is what is powerful. He creates everything with words. So the word of God, or is that scripture? In the beginning was the word. And the word, like think of Jesus, the word was with God. He was with Father God. That remember, creation happened in a trinity. The Holy Spirit, Father God, and Jesus the Son. Jesus, he didn't have flesh yet. And so he didn't have the name Jesus, his name was the Word. He was the Word. He was there at the beginning. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was part of the Trinity. And he put on skin. We see visiting Jesus. He comes down, and we see his life start happening. That's why we can see Jesus in every book of the Bible. Jesus didn't physically show up on earth until later on, right? Like the physical Jesus was not with Moses. But we see Jesus as God with Moses as the Word. We see him through these symbols throughout the narrative. Does this make sense? He was there the whole time. That's why when we say look for Jesus in every book, we're looking for that presence of the Lord. Now, the difference between devotional reading and Bible studying. Daily Bible reading is for the purpose of inspiration, and it is an important part of walking with God. it talks about here, there are hardly any rules. Use any Bible translation. Let's pause there and talk about Bible translations. Would you look at your Bible, if you don't know it, and just kind of yell out some of the translations that y'all are reading? What is your translation? What is it? Okay. NLT, Christian Standard, King James. Wow, you're brave. No, I'm kidding. Yes. Okay. Yes, New King James. Anybody have an ESV? NIV? Okay, awesome. So what's the deal with all these translations? Have you learned this yet in Pastor Rachel's course? I don't want to get ahead. The difference between all these translations, there are so many different translations of the Bible. And you're like, which one is good? They're all okay. But how it breaks down to is, if you remember, the original text is in two different languages. The Old Testament is in what language? Woohoo! Good job. And the New Testament is in Greek. Yes, you're making me a happy teacher. Okay, Hebrew and Greek, right? So there are two different kinds of translations. It's a translation that's called word for word or thought for thought. And if you look, you can Google like a translation chart and it will break down like your NLT, your NIV, your Amplified. Those are going to be more of thought. And then your like King James, your New American Standard. Some of those are going to be more of word for word. And the difference is when you take the original Hebrew or Greek, it will either translate it exactly. Cat, cat, went, went, to, get, food, food. Cat went to go get food, okay? That is word for word translation. The thought translation looks at the whole context of the story or scripture. So it might translate that as cat went to get breakfast, like if it was the bigger picture of it. And so that's why there is a difference in the translations and how you read it. It's easier to read translations that are thought translations because it translates it into the context. We talked about it in an earlier class. Sometimes words in different languages, they don't translate exact. You can say, I think the example we used was love. There are like in Spanish, there are two different kinds of loves and the way that you use it. Was that this year? in this class. And there are two different kinds of loves. And so it will translate differently. So if you're saying, what version do I read? If you're reading just read the Bible. That's the first step. Just read the Bible. Don't get bogged down. There's no bad translation, so to speak. But if you're reading for devotional reading, try to find a phrase translation, which would be your NLT, your ESV, your NIV, something like that. But if you are really doing like, I'm a pastor and I'm studying for a scripture and I want to know the nitty gritty, you might need to read a word for word translation Bible. Okay. So use different Bible translations when you're doing your studying. It's sometimes that's why it's fun or good to look at, let's say you're studying, you're studying Romans 8:28. Okay. And you read it in the ESV and it says one thing, and then you read it in the NLT and it says something else. And you can kind of cross-reference, oh, okay, this helps me understand the scripture a little bit more in like this translation. Does that make sense? And you know, in these translations, all of those letters are just abbreviations, like NLT stands for New Living Translation, or AMP stands for Amplified Version. And that's why when you're sometimes in books or even in sermons in churches, when they'll put the scriptures in quotation, you'll see those little letters after it. You know, it'll say, you know, I'm preaching a sermon about God does good and all things work together for the glory of God. And it'll say Romans 8:28, for all things work together, you know, for the good of those who trust him. Romans 8:28 NLT. So that tells you, oh, this scripture is coming from the New Living Translation. So if you're reading the NIV and you're like, wait a second, that's not what my Bible says. It's just a different translation. Okay, I think I'm spending too much time on this point. Here we go. Let's keep going. hop around like a frog, and enjoy whatever lily pad you land on. Read one chapter a day at first, but when you feel like it or not, you may be able to do more. Here we go. Turn the page. Let's fill in some of these blanks. Become a student of the Bible. Here we go. Page 60. What is the distinguishing factor between a Bible student and a casual reader? The Bible student wants eternal truth over momentary inspiration. So a Bible or a casual reader, in my opinion, is someone who's like, I don't read the Bible every day. The only time I read it is when I'm looking for something that I need specifically. You know, it's like, I don't ever read the Bible, but my youth pastor wants me to do a devotional, so like, let me figure out something real fast. Let me go to my Bible. A Bible student is somebody who, a student, it's a part of your daily life. If you are a sports enthusiast, like you love sports, who's the sports people? I was gonna say sports guy, but that's very sexist of me. Who's the sports people in here? Okay, what's the sport you love to watch? What's your favorite sport to watch versus your favorite sport to play? Okay, what's your team? Mavericks. All right. We got a lot of memorabilia that supports that in our house too. Okay. What are you, a little sports guy? What's your team? Oh, nice. Yeah, that's way past me. Okay. Anybody else? What's your team? Caleb, you have a team? No. Okay. What is it? Okay, yes. And okay. Football. Cowboys. Wow, Pastor Ryan's happy with y'all, huh? Okay. I think that's how I won Pastor Ryan's heart. I'm kidding, but I took him to a Thanksgiving Cowboys game. That's pretty good girlfriend stuff, right? Okay, so if you're like a sports enthusiast, I have two brothers, but they're not sports enthusiasts. I got a whole education when I got married about sports enthusiasm. I thought there was a football game once a year called the Super Bowl. Oh no, my friends, there are lots of football games, okay? And if I'm like, oh yeah, I'll watch football if there's like good snacks. Okay, I'm not really, like I'll show up to a game if there's like good food and good friends. That's like, I'm like a casual football person, right? But if I'm like a student of football, like I will keep up. I will have the app on my phone, right? I will keep up with the stats. I will figure out, did you know there's a podcast for this kind of stuff? This blows my mind, guys, okay? So this is like, you're a student of this topic. Well, that's how we want to be with the Bible, okay? We don't want to be a Bible reader where it's just like, oh yeah, like I got a cute new outfit, I'll go to church with you, or yeah, this looks fun, I'll show up. No, we want to be students of the Bible. We want to have apps on our phone. We want to be checking the references. We want to, when we see something or hear something, it sparks us to want to learn more. We're reading something and we see a name we don't know. It's like, okay, I want to know that story. Or if it says he went to the mountain of Bethel, it's like, I want to know, like, where is the mountain of Bethel? Like today, is it in Iran? Is it in Egypt? Like, I want to learn these things. Students are consumed with learning more. So how do you begin? Where do you start? Number one, select a time. Select a time. This is a legitimate time of the day. Sticking with our sports analogy, if you have a certain team, okay, you want to watch the Cowboys game, you have to show up and turn on your TV at the certain time. Now, yes, you can watch replays and you can do all that stuff, but like the actual game happens at a specific time, and you will maybe rearrange your day to make sure that you are there for the game. You have to set a time. If you say, I want to be a student of the Word of God, it's not just, you're never going to just have a time where you're like, oh, you know what? I'll just study. I'll read my Bible when it happens. It's never going to happen. There's always going to be a text from your buddy that says, hey, let's go to Sonic. There's always going to be a new show. There's going to be an MOH email. There's always going to be something that's going to pop up, right? Your sister's going to call you. So select a time. I want you, if you don't have this right now, we're going to fill it out for you right now. What is the time that you are going to read your Bible for the next 7 days? Is it 7 a.m.? Do y'all still do your three devos a day? What are those times? 7, 1, 8? Okay, great. So that's a great time to pick one of those. If you don't want to be in the room, you know, there are picnic tables. There are, go in your car. There's something. But write a time right now. We're going to pause. Holy Spirit, would you help us be students of the Word of God? We want to make appointments with you. Give us a time that we can keep and commit to. Okay, write that down. Now, pull out your phone. Yes, right now, pull out your phone. Make an alarm on your phone for whatever time you just wrote, if you don't have it. And you're going to label that alarm Bible or Jesus or devotion or life support. No kidding. Whatever it is, you're going to label it as like, this is my time. Do it. You can do it, you know, to spend with the Lord. And you start with 15 minutes. You start with 15 minutes, okay? And then 15 minutes will grow and you'll go from there. Now your second blank is select a location. Where is this happening? Is devotionals in here? Are they in here? Okay, so FFL1, my bed, by a tree, in my car, something. Write it down where you will go. That is, and think, you have to think it through. It's like, if I'm going to say my room, okay, then I might need to tell my roommates this so that I can focus. Or if you know, like, I'm going to get distracted, you just got to plan ahead. Think ahead and pick something realistic. Select a system. We're going to go through that a little bit later. So just write the word system. We're going to come back to that. And commit to 7 days. Okay, so we are committing for the next 7 days. We will read our Bible at this time, at this location, and with this system, which we're about to talk about. Now, I want you to think about, today is Thursday, okay? We're getting really practical here. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. If you're not going to be on this property or wherever your location is any of those days, you need to write that down. Like, how many of you are not going to be at your location somewhere in the next 7 days? Like, you might be going home this weekend or go visiting a friend. Okay, so on those days, you need to write a second location or a second time. So, for instance, I'm going to pretend to be a TBI student. Okay, I'm going to select 7 a.m. because I want to kill myself of my flesh, and I want to grow in habits, and I want to do something hard. And I'm going to select FFL1 by that back door, okay? And my system, we'll get through this, but I'm going to be studying a person. I want to be studying the life of David, and for the next 7 days... let me think through. Okay. Is this building open on Mondays? Yes, it's open all the time. Okay. So I can do that. Let's think. Okay. So let's say Saturday, I'm actually going to wake up early and, I'm going to be finding a garage sale somewhere, okay? And, okay, so instead of 7 a.m. on Saturday, because I'm not going to be all, like, rigorous and bent out of shape, on Saturday, I'm going to do a 1 o'clock meet with the Lord. Like, you really have to think strategically, and you plan it around like it's an appointment. You are meeting with God. You might say, that is a lot of brain space. That is a lot of power. But that is where your heart of intentionality comes, is you're saying, Lord, this matters to me. My time with you matters. If you treat it casually, it's going to be casual in your heart. If you treat it with respect, it's going to do something with your heart. Now, the Lord looks at your heart, but it when you take time to plan it, it really does make a difference. It's the difference between if I get in an outfit like this, I'm going to be more inclined to say like, oh yeah, I'll go meet a friend. Oh yeah. Like if somebody texts me and said, hey Abby, let's meet up for coffee. I'm like, oh yeah, let's go. If I'm still in my pajamas with a messy bun and my friend's like, hey, will you meet me for coffee? I'd be like, can we rain check on that? Because I was already prepared. And a plan is how we prepare our heart. And we say, no, Lord, this really matters to me. So we are going to do this. So put your hands on this little thing section and say, Holy Spirit, help me. Amen. Okay. So let's look through these five types of Bible studies on page 61. And these are your systems that you're going to pick from. Okay? Five main approaches to study the Bible. One, you're going to study a book. These are recommended books that Pastor Rachel has included: Genesis, Proverbs, John, Romans, 2 Timothy. So if you pick a book, this looks like you, for one day, you might be Googling or researching, who is the author of the book of Genesis? Let me look at the different mountains that are listed. Let me, you know, you're looking at the big picture of things. You're reading through the whole book, but you're studying it as a whole. The second one is to study a chapter, and this is where you're just line by line, you're picking apart these things. Recommended, you see those there. The next one is study a verse. This is really fun when you study a verse for 7 days. You're like, okay, there's literally nothing else I can get from this. But somehow he makes it cool, and he bubbles things up. You'll see here she references a Strong's Concordance, but another reference that I would have you write down there is Blue Letter Bible, and they have an app that's also, and what this does is if you're reading your verse and you want to know, well, what is the original Hebrew or what is the original Greek, then what do I need to look for? I love number four. This is one that I think people kind of pass over sometimes, but study a person. This is one of my favorite things to do, is to take a week or a few days or a month or whatnot and take somebody and really study them. I just did this a few weeks ago with Anna from the New Testament. Anna only has like four verses in the book of Luke, but it talks about how Anna was present when Anna was an intercessor. Her husband died after 7 years, and then she gave 70 years of her life to just praying and fasting, believing to see the Messiah. And when Mary and Joseph brought baby Jesus to the, like right when he got born, her and a man named Simeon got to see Jesus. And she has this portion where she talks about it. But there's one verse in there that says, Anna was from the tribe of Asher, and you just can kind of read through that. But because I was studying her, I was like, okay, let me learn about the tribe of Asher. And the tribe of Asher actually goes all the way back to the Israelites that were wandering. And you kind of start Sherlock Holmesing it, you know, you start like putting things together and you're like, oh, that's so cool that the tribe of Asher, they were set apart as Levites. And what are Levites? Well, Levites were the original priesthood groups. And so Anna is actually the great-great-great-great-great-granddaughter. Like, her great-great-great-grandmother was in the tent of David. And you can kind of start seeing all these things happen, and it's epic. And so studying a person is really cool. These are awesome highlights to learn. Abraham, Moses, Deborah, David, Paul. How would you start? You can go in the back, turn to the back right now to your concordance. You should have a concordance in your back. Actually, that's just a whole fun devotional. Your Bible. That's a whole day, is just to look at all of the things in the back of your Bible. There are so many cool study tips, okay? And let's pick David for the sake of brevity. So if I say, okay, I want to study about David. So first I'm going to go back. I'm going to go through just like a dictionary. I'm looking for D's, D's, D's. Do I want demons? No. Decrees? No. Daughter? No. Okay, I'm looking for David. So I have a section that says David. Do you have a section that says David? Okay, I says David, and mine says King of Israel. Okay, so I would write that down in my journal. So I know he was the King of Israel. Son of Jesse, so I would write that down. He's in the family line of Jesus. That means his blood, Jesus, can be traced back. You know, anointed king. I would write down these things in my journal. And then I would also see all these references. And these are going to become my hopscotch references that I'm going to go look. So the first one I see is actually 1 Samuel 16, 1 through 3. So I would read that and I would learn, what can I learn about David in here? And I would just keep kind of going through the line. Are you doing this for a paper? No. Are you doing this because somebody's forcing you to do this? No. You're doing this because this is what you're now studying for your life. You're studying the family of God. And this is not about like being an academic person or an educational person. This is, I want to learn. And sometimes we can learn this way. Other ways you can learn, there's podcasts, there's YouTube videos, there's amazing resources. If you're like, I'm just not really a visual learner, I want to see things or hear things, you can Google sermons. You could, there's so many references that you can use. That's awesome. And the last one is to study a topic. So for instance, grace, faith, fear of the Lord, healing. You would use the same thing that I just talked about. Is there anybody in here who hasn't found your concordance or you don't know what I'm talking about? It's kind of like a dictionary in the back of your Bible. And so you would go through and let's say I'm going to do a study on the theme of crowns. I want to learn about all the different crowns in the Bible. And here we go. It talks about a crown of humility in Psalm 149. It talks about a crown of overcoming in Revelation 4. It talks about the seven crowns of Jesus. Revelation. And so you can see this theme or this topic arise. You will never lack anything to study in Scripture. If you're like, what am I supposed to study? There are always things to study, and that is what makes it exciting. Three blanks, here we go, linking Scriptures. When you're reading it, you can ask yourself things like, what does the passage say? This, you can write observation. The first thing you're going to observe, what does this passage say? Observation. What does it mean? Interpretation. What is this literally saying? This is this random verse or scripture. So your first blank is observation. Your second blank is interpretation. And how does it apply to me? Application. You got those highlighters still? Go with me to Psalm. Psalm 103. Okay, so we're gonna do these observation, interpretation, application real fast. And with your highlighter, as I read, I want you to highlight, we're gonna focus on the character of God. Okay, so as I read, if I say a verse that tells you something about who God is, I want you to highlight it. Okay, I'll tell you the first one when we see it. Okay, let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. Here's something that we know he does. Highlight. He forgives my sins. So So we know he walks in forgiveness if he forgives sins. He heals my diseases. What does that tell us about the character of God? He's a healer. Observation. So the observation of this is, what do I see? I can highlight my observations. I highlight that he forgives my sins. He heals my diseases. What's the interpretation? Well, that means that he must be a forgiver. He must be a healer. What would be an application of this scripture? Application for me always looks like prayer. It looks like, because when I pray, I can process it and personalize it. So, Father, I thank you that you do forgive all my sins. So right now, would you point out any sin that's in my heart that I could repent with a pure heart before you? And I thank you that you do heal all of my diseases. So if there's any place of death in my body, of disease in my body, I'm asking that you right now would show yourself as healer in my life. Okay, so that's basic. We're going to keep going because it's so good. He redeems me from death, and he crowns me with love and tender mercies. That's something that shows us something about his character. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagle. So maybe that first line of verse 5, he fills my life with good things. That's something about God. It's something that he does. The second portion would be kind of something more about me. He fills my life with good things, so my youth is renewed like eagles. The Lord gives righteousness and justice to all are treated unfairly. This is such a good one for me. I have to meditate this when I'm on social media because I start seeing things and I'm like, how can they get away with that? Or like, what are they doing? Or this is terrible. Or how? What about these people? Like, these people are hurting and they're broken and what's going on? It's like, no, the Lord is the judge. He is the one that will bring justice and be the comforter to all of these who are treated unfairly. It's not my job to fix everybody. He has big enough hands for this. Okay, here we go. He revealed, He revealed his character to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. Okay, let me pause here. So you see, this is why if you were reading this and you had not taken the Bible story and you knew nothing about Moses, this would be a place where you could say, okay, wait a second, that's a name I don't know. Let me circle this, and I might need to come back and do a study on what's the story of Moses. I mean, if it's he revealed his character to Moses, that must mean something, so I need to know the story of Moses. But see, now that you do know the story of Moses, this scripture becomes more potent to you. Verse 8, the Lord, this is a big highlight, the Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. I'm sure that Miss Grace has hit this one hard in her course. The Lord is compassionate and merciful. So if you're dealing in your heart with a picture of God that is upset at you or angry, you can say, wait a second, that's not truth. My perception of God is not true, because what scripture says that the Lord is compassionate and is merciful. He will not constantly accuse us. So if you have a voice in your life that is constantly accusing you, you feel like you're constantly in guilt, you're constantly ashamed, you have a voice inside that's constantly saying, you're messed up again, you're not good enough, you don't hear the voice of God like everybody else, what is going on, who are you to say that you can figure this out? That is accusation. The accuser does not come from God. The accuser comes from the enemy, because right now it says this right here that, I lost my place. Where are we? Verse 9. He will not constantly accuse us. He will not remain angry forever. But that forever tells us that he does have moments of being angry. He does not punish us for all of our sins. He does not deal harshly with us when we deserve. For his unfailing love towards those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. I have that one highlighted in my personal Bible. It's a good one to meditate. Lord, I want to know you as Father. Would you be compassionate and tender to me? Okay, verse 14. He knows how weak we are. He remembers that we are only dust. Our days on earth are like the grass. The wild flowers, they bloom and they die. The winds blow and we are gone, as though we have never been here. But the love of the Lord remains with those who fear him. His salvation extends to his children's children, to those who are faithful to his covenant, for those who obey his commandments. So as a mom, I have that scripture highlight and I say, Lord, you said that your love would remain to my children's children. So that means that I am asking for salvation in my children. I am asking for salvation in my future grandchildren. I claim that right now as a promise that you've given me. The Lord has made the heavens his throne. From there, he rules over everything. Praise the Lord, you angels, you mighty ones who carry out his plans, listening for each of his commands. Yes, praise the Lord, you armies of angels. Remember, angels are not little fat babies. Warriors of light, armies of angels who serve him and do his will. Praise the Lord, everything he has created, everything in all his kingdom. Let all that I am praise the Lord. Okay, so you could take this and you could study it. But now that you've done a few highlights, after you read it one time, then with a journal, you could go back and you could just write down those scriptures that you highlighted in your journal, and you can say, okay, this is the big picture, but now these are I want to study the character of God. I want to get to know him more. So now let me study these a next level. Or ask the Holy Spirit, point out one of these. Which one of these made the most sense to me? Which one do I want to dissect a little bit more? And you go from there. I know we're right there at my time, but I have one more thing to do, and I've been very good all semesters to let you out early, so I'm going to take this. Hurry with me to Mark, Luke, and John. We're going to Mark. New Testament Gospel. Okay, you're going to Mark 16. Another really great thing to do, maybe not with a highlighter, it might get a little much, but maybe with like even a red colored pencil, I've done that before, but to read through the Gospels and to, if it's not already printed in your Bible, any words that Jesus says, you can make that red or you can make that a highlighter. How many of you have red letters in your Bible? Okay, so the red letters in your Bible, that means these are words, direct quotes from Jesus. Okay, whoa, Nelly. If this is a direct quote from Jesus, I want to study it. I want to hear it. I want to hear the tone. I want to learn the words. I want to memorize the things. This is heightened stuff if it came directly from Jesus. If you don't have a red letter Bible, I would encourage you to get a colored pencil or a highlighter and make it, this can be a year journey. This doesn't have to be done overnight, but as you see something that Jesus says, you can make it red so you can see it. Right now, we're looking at 16:15, and he told them, this should be highlighted in your Bible. This is a direct quote from Jesus. This is known as the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. Verse 17, these miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name. They will speak in new languages. Verse 18, they will be able to handle snakes with safety, and if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick, and they will be healed. End quote. When the Lord Jesus had finished talking with them, he went up, he was taken into heaven, and he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand. This is literally the last thing that Jesus said. So this should be, if it's not in red, it should be highlighted or underlined or something of that sort, because it is Yeah, I mean, this one really should just be all the things, like highlight, sticker, flabbed, tabbed, all those things, okay? Because that is a good thing to do. Okay, last page. Stick with me, Mr. Michael. I promise. 62. I want you to focus on this bottom bullet. It says, choose a Bible marking plan. Choose a plan and do it in your Bible. So for instance, if you use color highlighters for themes, in one of my Amplified Bibles, I did this specifically, like if it was a scripture about the Holy Spirit, I would get my orange highlighter and I would do an orange highlighter. If it was a scripture about Jesus, I would use a yellow highlighter. If it was a personal scripture for Abby, Ryan, Oliver, Eleanor, I would use a pink highlighter, pink mint people. So pink highlighter. And so then when I'm going through my Bible, I have all these highlights. There's no right or wrong. He or she suggests blue could mean something about heaven, green, grow, yellow, promises, whatnot. You can do keywords. So for instance, like anytime you see the word faith, you can come up with a system. Like anytime I see the word faith, I'm going to circle the word faith or underline it. Margin notes, using a fine tip pen, you can write a few words. I've talked about this with you guys with dating things. Like let's say the Lord really gives you a scripture today in your devotional time. You could write by it October 13, 2022. You know, in the margin, the side, you can write little notes or symbols. For instance, any time that, you know, she has things, you read anything about the cross or anything about promises, you can write a star, heart, love, promises, star. What story in the Old Testament does that remind us of? Da, 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 anything? Abraham, yeah. Abraham, remember when God brought Abraham out and he said, look at all these stars. So anytime we see stars in scriptures, that is a promise from God. Okay, my time is up, but my passion is not. So let's pray and I will dismiss you. You got 5 minutes to transition. Father, thank you for your faithfulness and thank you for making these students of the Word of God. I pray that they are excited about the Word of God. They are excited about the things of God. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to them and that you would help them keep their 7-day promise to you and their 7-day promise to themselves as they become students of the Word of God. And everyone says, amen. I am a resource for you. If you have questions, I'm going to stay for 5 more minutes. If not, tally-ho. Okay. Yeah, thank you, Diodato. Thank you, friends. And thank you to whoever jumped our car. Did you jump our car? Sorry, you jumped our car. Thank you. We have a mirror.